He was born in 1935. He was known for his music. And he died tragically in 1977. The world mourned his loss. Music and things of his were on display as relics. There's an anniversary of his death that a candlelight vigil is held every year. The world calls him King. There was a man who was hung upon a cross, was abandoned by his friends, scourged and spit at, and mocked with a sign above his head, with the letters INRI, which stands for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This King died for us, to save us from our sins, for us to live in eternal happiness in heaven. Which of the above kings is truly worthy of following? The one who has passing worldly honors, riches, and fame, which passes away and fades, or the one who has eternal happiness and proves he is worthy of rule by laying down his life for his subjects? Today is the solemnity of Christ the King, and at his name every knee shall bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He didn't care about worldly honors. In fact, he always shunned them throughout his life. At the temptation of the desert, when the devil tried to tempt him and say, "Bow down before me and all these kingdoms will be yours," he refused. Or when the people wanted to make him king, he passed through the midst of them. In fact, the people were only concerned with a worldly kingdom, someone to restore Israel to its former glory. But he wasn't interested in worldly honors. Because he shunned worldly honors does not mean, though, that he shouldn't rule here. In fact, Pius XI, who gave us this feast day in 1925 in one of his encyclicals, said, "He not only reigns spiritually, but temporally. Since the Word of God is consubstantial with the Father, has all things in common with him, and therefore has necessary supreme and absolute dominion over all things created." The Holy Father goes on and says that it would be a grave error to say that Christ has no authority whatever in civil affairs, since by virtue of the absolute empire over all creatures committed to him by his Father, and all things are in his power. And Leo XIII quotes, not only Catholic nations, not only the baptized, but also those who are outside the Christian faith, so that the whole of mankind is subject to the power of Jesus Christ. Leo XIII goes on, "He is the author of happiness and true prosperity for every man and for every nation. If rulers want to preserve their authority, they will not neglect the public duty of reverence and obedience to Christ. Who have we made king in our life? If it is not Christ, who or what is it?" The world wanted a king on their own conditions, a material king to satisfy stomachs and living conditions, a bread king, as the venerable Fulton Sheen says. And we give glory to God for his beatification, which will take place December 21st in Peoria. He says, we have no king but the people shout, "We have no king but Caesar," they shout when asked if they wanted Jesus to be released. There are those today who do not want Christ as their king. We simply look to the world. As we approach the Christmas season, you'll start to see, probably more so even this year, it gets worse and worse every year, with the meaning of Christmas being changed from the birth of our Savior to a commercial holiday, a commercial extravaganza, without even any mention of Christ, the reason for the season. The Ten Commandments are being struck down left and right from our nation. Marriage is being redefined. The human, very human person is being redefined. Life in the womb is under attack. God is being taken out of public life. You start seeing removing people. You hear about trying to remove under God from documents and statues and currency. The mainstream media is turning a blind eye to Christian persecution. Pius XI attributes the state of things to a certain slowness and timidity in good people who are reluctant to engage in conflict or oppose but a weak resistance. So the enemies of the Lord thus become bolder and bolder. We must stand for Christ the King, both in body and soul. If Christ is King, he must reign with all our hearts, our mind, our soul, and strength. If Christ reigns in us, we will not be ashamed of our King in the public square. If Christ reigns in our hearts and souls, that would force us to change, to abandon sin, to abandon attachments. Some may ask about a separation of church and state. Father Provone of the Priest for Life has a powerful reflection on this point. He reflects on the scripture passage which talks about paying the temple tax. Since Christ is King, should we not pay the temple tax? And our Lord, you know, asks for the coin. And he says, who is the image on the coin? And they say, Caesar. So he says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. And Father Provone goes on, he says, whose image is Caesar in? Caesar is in the image of God. Therefore, Caesar must obey God. All rulers derive their power from the Almighty God. They must obey him. That is why our Lord, before Pilate, says, you will have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. So a ruler must obey Christ, the true King, and his laws and his decrees. Otherwise, it will fall into chaos. Pius XI says, if Jesus Christ is excluded from political life, with authority not from God but from man, the very basis of that authority has been taken away, because the chief distinction between ruler and subject has been eliminated. Man must point upwards, not to himself. Since society is having man as authority, it is tottering to fall because it has no secure and solid foundation. However, he says, if they rule not by their own right, but in place of the true King, they will exercise authority piously and wisely. Laws will view the common good and human dignity of their subjects, and their result will be stability, peace, and tranquility. For there will be no longer any cause for discontent. They will be conscious of the link that binds them together. Our Lord, he came into the world. Therefore, he is meaning to be King here in our very lives. His kingdom is here in the church. Do we have him King of our lives, of our hearts and souls? Like the masses who left him at revelation of the Holy Eucharist, will we walk away if it gets too hard to follow him? Or will we stay and proclaim his kingship to the whole world, even in the face of persecution? Pius XI says, those who keep the laws of the Lord show their love for their divine master, and he promises that they shall remain in his love. And our Lord in the scripture, he gives us a warning. In the parable of the steward, the king who goes off to another land, for those who do not want him king, and he comes back and there's people that don't want him king. And he says this in that little parable, For those who do not want him king or do not agree with him, we think of that gospel parable of the king who went to proclaim his kingship that was rightly his, and some people didn't want him to be king. They were brought to his presence and slain. So this is a stark warning for us that we must accept Christ as our king, that we will be judged in this life on how we have accepted Christ as our king. The good thief on the cross, you know, he said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." He recognized Christ as the true king, and the Lord reached out to him in forgiveness and promised him the heavens. Christ must reign in each one of our hearts and souls, regardless of in our private lives or in the public. We take the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the world. He is truly the just King, who is patient, gentle, kind, generous, and forgiving. And we see what type of King he is on the cross. That is a King that I want to follow. A king who proves his kingship, who was willing to be scourged, spit at, forgotten by his friends, mocked, who died for each one of his subjects, who rose from the dead, whose kingdom will have no end, who all will go before to be judged. May we be judged worthy to be him with him forever. May we accept him as our king. Long live Christ the King.